Well, I appreciate Brother Philip being obedient to the Lord. He came out to my house yesterday and we talked, and I'm sure that he thought I was being kind of brash with him, but he said two or three times, he said, "I don't know why that the Lord called me to preach." And I finally said, "Well, it's really none of your business." You know, we belong to the Lord, and he can do with us what he will, and he doesn't owe us an explanation. And, you know, the Lord can choose us to do what he would have us to do. And I'm just thankful that he was willing to... I'm glad he got it all out. Amen. Thankful he was willing to follow the Lord. And if you want to hear him preach, be here next Sunday night. We'll plan on having him preach here next Sunday evening. So let's remember him in our prayers. I want to ask your prayers again today. I want to direct your attention to some scripture found in the 8th chapter of Romans. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Romans chapter 8. And I would like to begin reading with verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things?" What shall we say then to these things? "If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I'd like to stop reading there, having read Romans 8, verses 28 through the end of that 8th chapter, verse 39. I believe that, what we find in about verse 31 through 33 or so, it seems to me when I read this, I believe this was essentially the attitude that David had when he faced Goliath. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who is going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And I believe that was essentially the way that David felt when he faced that giant, he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And I'd like to speak for just a little while today about how that things are not always as they appear. That's the thought I'd like for you to think about with me. Things are not always as they appear. And by that I mean things are not always, the reality of things are not always as they appear to be to the human eye and in the human process of thought. We read in these verses, and of course the Apostle Paul, he lived and he ministered for the Lord. He preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in a day of physical persecution. And we read about different ones in the scriptures, and I will talk about some of them today. But we read about different ones in the scriptures, and of course this wasn't something new in New Testament time, because we can read in the New Testament how that in days past, in what we know as Old Testament times, we read also how that they persecuted the prophets, and they persecuted, you know, those that have brought the Word of God to people, you know, have been persecuted in different ways for many years. And we know that the Apostle Paul was, you know, he was a preacher in a time when these things were happening. And so in this, he asked the question, you know, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution? You know, even though we are, Paul was saying, even though we are persecuted, is persecution going to separate us from the love of Christ? These things, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. And all of these things that he was talking about had to do with the body. All of these things were things that could be experienced outwardly. They could persecute them in their bodies, or they could do them harm with a sword in the body, or famine, or nakedness, or these things, this tribulation that he spoke about, could create hardships for their outward man. But I believe that what Paul was saying here and writing here to the Romans is that in all of these things, that's as far as they can go. That's as far as famine and nakedness and peril and sword and persecution, that's as far as they can affect the Christian. All they can have an effect on is our temporal life. They cannot touch the soul. They cannot touch that place within us where God has shed His love abroad in us by the Holy Ghost. That place within the person that has been saved, that peace that God has placed within that inner man, cannot be touched. It cannot be touched by the devil. It cannot be touched by famine. It cannot be touched by the sword. It cannot be affected by nakedness. It cannot be affected by distress. It cannot be affected by trouble. All of these things, there's nothing high, there's nothing low, There's nothing deep or wide. There is no power that exists that can touch the soul, that can take us out of God's hand. That's what Jesus taught us in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. He said, "My Father that gave them is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And I'm going to say that to deny the security of the blood-bought believer is to just blatantly deny the Scriptures. Because we are plainly taught in the Bible that once that we have been saved, that we are saved. We are saved and we are going to remain saved. We have been saved by grace and we are being kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So who or what will separate God's children from Him? Will anything? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that saved us. We didn't save ourselves. It's God that saved us by His power. And it's God that's keeping us. And so, who is going to take us away from that? Well, nobody. The answer to the questions here that the Apostle Paul was asking when he said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Shall distress? No. Shall persecution? No. Shall famine? No. Shall nakedness? No. Shall peril or sword? No. None of those things will separate us from the love of God." He goes on, and I believe in the last two verses that I read, I believe Paul goes ahead and gives his answer to his own question. He said that he was persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now remember when the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and in the 6th chapter that he instructed them that they were to put on the whole armor of God that they might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because he said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Paul said, as the people of God, we do battle with those dark, evil forces of the devil. And the Apostle Paul spoke about it here in the Roman letter also. But even though that we do battle principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, even though that we, have spiritual conflict with those evil forces, they cannot separate us from the love of God. Paul said principalities can't do it. Powers can't do it. Nothing that's here now can do it. Nothing that's going to come can do it. So, basically, what I'm telling you today is that if you've been saved by the grace of God, you're going to heaven. I mean, it's just as sure. In fact, it's more sure than many things you're going to find in this life. There are things in this life that I'm so uncertain about. There are things that I, don't know what's going to happen to me tomorrow. I don't know if I'm even going to have a tomorrow here in this life. But there are things that I know concerning God, and because of the blessings of salvation upon me, there are things that I know about my future that are certain to me. Amen. We have a hope. The Bible says that sure and steadfast. And certainly, God is the keeper of that which we have committed unto Him. So, I thought about how that, we have victory. We have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought about how that these things that were written, they were not written. We today are wondering, I mean, obviously from the questions that I've heard people ask, we have some apprehension and we have some wonder among us, and we have the question in our minds as to what may happen to us. We wonder, and I've heard, I mean, obviously that's true, because over the past 2 or 3 years, I've heard several people ask the question. I've heard people talk about it. I've heard people preachers preach about it. And I believe there's a question among us as to whether or not the religious liberties that we have enjoyed are going to continue or not. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they are or not. Certainly, we can see things that are threatening, but I know that God is still on the throne, and I know that God can certainly stay the devil's hand, but we don't know what's going to happen to us. And I've heard people, in fact, I heard this preached about in a revival service just this past Thursday night. We don't know that we're going to, whether or not we're going to face the time when we're going to be once again, when the church of the living God is going to be physically persecuted or not. I've heard the question asked, do you suppose that if it comes, that we'll be able to stand the way that God's people once did? Do you believe we'll be ready? And, the only way that I know how to answer that is, yes, we will, if we place our trust in the same one that they did. Because I'm convinced that that's how they made it through it. I'm convinced that they didn't have, God had not bestowed upon them. God is no respecter of persons, the Bible says, and He had not bestowed upon them anything that would allow them to be able to withstand that any more than He can do for us. They faced those things by God's grace and by His help. And friends, if we ever have to face them, we'll have to rely upon the same one, the same things. We could look, you can look back through the scriptures, and you can look through history, and you can see that the church has left a bloody trail behind her. For years and years, this physical persecution went on. And if you looked at that with the natural eye, it would appear that, somebody no doubt would look at that and they would say, oh, those poor people, they were being annihilated. They were being wiped out. The persecutors were, so cruel to them that they were just, putting them through this and that. But let me tell you something. When you really look at what happened, when you really study it in truth, when you really look at what the scriptures say, and you look at the things that have been recorded in the pages of church history, I'm going to tell you something. All the years that the church was facing those things, all of those hundreds of years that she was facing persecution, when the saints were actually being put to death in cruel ways. I'm talking about when they were being beheaded, when they were being burned at the stake, when they were having all sorts of cruel methods of punishment used upon them. Folks, I'll tell you what, through all those years, the church was winning. She was winning. You know why? Because nothing nothing could separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And you can read account after account. Well, let's look at what happened with the deacon Stephen that we have recorded there in the 7th chapter of Acts. Because if somebody were to look up on that scene of what was happening there, those people there taking him outside that city, and the Bible says gnashing on him with their teeth, and then they eventually stoned that man, and the way that he was mistreated. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Listen, I know that we have compassion one towards another. I know that we don't like to see each other suffer. And I know that when one of us hurts, that the others hurt. But I'm going to tell you the bottom line truth is, you really don't ever have to feel sorry for a child of God, because whatever that we face in this life is only going to be temporary. We're going to overcome all of it, friends. You believe that? I do. I believe that because Jesus told me that when I have tribulation, that I can be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. And John, in 1 John, John said, what is it that overcomes? Well, it's even our faith. It's even that faith that we have placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe, no doubt, that that's why Jesus said, don't fear him which is able to kill the body. Don't fear him that can't do anything more than that, but fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And I'm going to tell you, friends, the Apostle Paul wrote, and he said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. And when we have been saved by the grace of God, do you ever have those woe is me parties for yourself? You ever throw yourself a little pity party and you just sit down and you say, oh, woe is me. You know, I have faced this, and I've had this happen, and I've had that happen, and, you know, I was doing so good this week, and I broke a nail, or I'm having a bad hair day or something. I mean, just, you know, whine and complain about little bitty things in life. But I like to look, I like to read about the day when the people of God, they stood for the Lord no matter what was happening. They stood for the Lord, and their attitude, I believe, was this, and I believe it had to be this. I believe that's the only way that they could make it through those things. Their attitude had to be, listen, if you cut my arm off, or if you cut my hands off, or if you cut my head off, or if you take this body and you burn it at the stake, that's all that you can do is kill this body, because as soon as it dies, my spirit is going to leave and go home to be in the presence of the Lord, and I'm going to be with him forever and ever, and there's not a thing in the world that you can do about that. Amen. There's not a thing in the world that you can do to stop that. And I believe that had to be their mindset in order for them to get through the things that they did. I wonder, through the dark ages, when the church was facing the things that she faced, I wonder what it meant to those people when they read, death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, nor any creature is going to be able to separate my soul from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So they took Stephen, cast him out of the city, gnashed on him with their teeth, stoned him to death, And no doubt you could look at that scene and you could say, oh, that poor man. Look what they did to him. You know, look, he certainly lost that battle. But we see things that happen. The Bible tells us that when that took place, that they laid their clothes down at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, and he was there, and he heard Stephen, and he heard the things that he proclaimed, and God blessed him so much in that moment that I'm persuaded to believe that Stephen was just able to forget about all the physical things that were happening to him. He was able to forget about the gnashing of teeth. He was able to forget about the stones, striking him. He was able certainly to forget about what that crowd of people was doing to him. I believe when he looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, I believe that was able to take away all the things that he was feeling physically, the glory that was being shown to him, the place where he was about to go and the one that he was just about to be with. Caused him in the midst of all that to proclaim to those people. I wonder what they thought when they were treating him the way that they did. And he said, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. And he's standing at the right hand of God. Folks, listen, you do whatever you want to this body. Right now, my soul is soaring. I'm seeing Jesus in heaven. And they took him after he had made that statement, and they stoned him, calling. The Bible says they stoned him with him calling on the name of the Lord. He prayed that the Lord would receive his spirit. He prayed that God would forgive them of what they had done to him. And he went home to be with the Lord. And that young man named Saul, who they had laid Stephen's clothes at his feet. And the Bible says that Saul consented unto the death of Stephen. He approved of it. He gave his approval of it. But we read that not very much time had passed afterwards that he was on his way to Damascus to continue to persecute the saints. And the Lord convicted him of his sins. And you'll never persuade me that Stephen, that old saint of God, standing for the Lord in his darkest hour from a physical standpoint, you'll never persuade me that those words he spoke didn't have a great influence on that young man. I believe he went away, and I don't think he could, I think that was on his mind as he was headed to persecute those people about the testimony that this man of God in the face of great physical persecution, this testimony that he bore, I believe was working on him, and the Lord spoke to him and the Lord convicted him of his sins and he saved him by his grace and he became one of the greatest preachers of all time. Amen. See, Stephen's life wasn't a waste. It wasn't a waste. His death, rather, the way that he died, it was not in vain. It accomplished something. I believe those cruel deaths of persecution, it may have appeared the other way around to people, but I believe they were victorious in those things. And I believe that we have victory in the Lord. I think that deep down in our hearts we all know it's true. I'm sure that there are things that we would rather not face. I'm sure that there are things that we would rather not have happen to us, but I believe if you've been saved, I believe deep down in your heart you know it's true. We've already won, haven't we, Brother Lowe? We're already winners. We have already got the victory because no matter what anybody does to us, Jesus is is keeping us. Our Father in heaven is keeping us, and he's going to present us faultless before the throne. That's what the Bible says. He will present us faultless before the throne. One day we'll stand in heaven. When all the events of this life have come to an end, we'll be with the Lord. It's really those who are lost that we ought to be concerned with. And I believe that, lost friend, I believe this church is concerned about your soul. You need the Lord. I'm thankful for God's grace. I'm thankful for his saving grace. I'm thankful for his sustaining grace. I'm thankful for his enabling grace. And, you know, Brother Philip, I'm going to tell you something. If you'll lean on the Lord, he'll help you. I know that we all, you know, we think, I can't do it. I just can't do it. But I'll tell you, if you'll put your faith and trust in the Lord, he will help you more than you could possibly imagine. He will help you. God will do that for all of us, no matter what. And I'll tell you this, I don't know if we'll ever have to or not. But if it comes time, if it does, friends, and I don't know, you know, none of us could say how we would react. But if the time ever comes, I'll tell you what I believe, I'll tell you what I'm convinced of, that if we ever have to face what our ancestors have faced, I'm convinced that if we'll put our trust in the Lord the same way they did, that he'll give us the same grace he gave them. Amen. That he'll help us to make the same stand that they were able to make. That's all I have. Those are the things that the Lord placed upon my heart.